Good morning. It's so good to have all of you here this morning. Every member, every visitor, it's good to be in the Lord's house and to worship and serve and enjoy His presence. Y'all look like a happy crowd, and that's good. It's good to be a rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord's my strength. So it's good to have joy in the Lord. Those of you here, those in the parking lot, those listening on the website, all of you, we're so happy to have you. May we pray. Lord, we're just so grateful to be in your presence. Most of all, we're grateful to know that you love us. To have that love that you demonstrated from the beginning of time, but more visibly on the cross. To see a Savior dying there. While we were yet in our sins, He died for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you so loved us that you sent your Son. Now, Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here to empower our worship. He's here to teach us your truths. He's here to instruct, to encourage, to guide. We welcome the presence of Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we have that same love for you as much as humanly possible as you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Pastor Ed. I appreciate it very much. We welcome all of you this morning. If you are a visitor this morning with us, you are indeed our special guest. And we welcome you with us this morning. We'll do as we normally do on a Sunday morning. We like to do our hymn sing. I still believe in hymns of the church. I think it's a good thing that we keep them and try to keep them alive, because if you'll notice this, as the pastor have talked to you about before, each hymn of the church, is biblical. It's written, it's gospel. And so if you'll follow along with us, let's take a hymnal and turn to page 216. Now, this one came out of Wednesday night service, and I'm trying to move along with one of those. And this came out of the Wednesday night service, "Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing." Let's do all four verses as we all stand together.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His praise. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that calms my fears, that holds my sorrow, sees. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life in hell and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free, His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avails for me.
And everybody said, amen. Welcome someone this morning, please. Well, it feels like a nice fall day today, doesn't it? There's a little bit of chill in the air, and the leaves are starting to fall. You like the chill in the air? I do too. It's not going to be long, though. There's going to be frost on the pumpkin, and then it gets a little bit different for me. The older I get, the more problem that I have with cold weather. I don't know where you all like. Well, Jerry, you that way? There you go. I can't help myself. It's just I just don't get as warm as that. Now, Jeff, you don't know what it's like to be cold.
I get warm, really.
Yeah. I believe that too. The man doesn't own a coat, so that tells you all you need to know right there. But anyway, so it's good to see you this morning. I have some announcements for you. I want to share with you this morning. Number one, there'll not be a Wednesday night service. Most of our Wednesday night people will be on a van going to the mountains. So we're going to, the Golden Agers will be going up to the mountains. And so we will not have a Wednesday night service there. We can have a Bible study on the van, Pastor. If we need to do that, we can always do that. So, but also, as I was saying, the Golden Agers will be leaving Wednesday morning. You'll leave Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock from here at the church. And by the way, those of you that worried about me driving, I'm not going to drive. So I see you smiling. I felt it'd be best. So my son Jeff is going to go along and drive. I think it's good for him too. So I think it's going to work out great. So anyway, we'll see here at 7 o'clock. I think we've got around 10, maybe 11 people going, and that's good. And we'll have a good time, have some good fellowship, and bring back some apples as we go. So that'll be great. So that's the apple trip. Be here. Ambassador Youth Conference. I don't know much about that, Pastor. Is there anything we need to add there? The Ambassador Youth Conference, Stanley Montgomery Baptist Association will hold a student-equipped conference on how to present gospel on October the 15th through the 16th. Read that in the bulletin. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I don't know. I haven't been brought up to date on what it's about. But anyway, let's be a part of that. October the 15th. Okay? Yes, that's right. I believe that's right. Yeah, Albemarle Baptist, North Albemarle Baptist. Yeah, that's where it'll be. Well, so Will maybe can help us with that, understand. I think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. All righty, Baptist Men's Retreat. Jeff, you want to add anything to that? We're going up to have some fun. So
I need to see the guys down front after the service and decide for sure what time we're going to leave and make the list of those that's not coming, so we'll need to know who to talk about.
Well, all right. All right, men. So the Baptist Men Retreat, October the 14th through the 16th. We'll leave here at the church around 4 or something like that, 3 or 4.
No, we're going to leave. I think someone's going to leave earlier than that. That's why
you want to talk. Okay, all right.
Won't be, but just a second.
Okay, guys, before you go that way, come this way. And that'll be great. Okay. That'll take care of that. All right. Quarterly conference will be Sunday, October the 16th, and that's as we, so any, and then and now also, now I want to remind you over on the right-hand side of your bulletin there, Pastor Appreciation Month, this is the month, the Pastor Appreciation Month. We love our pastor, and we surely do. We appreciate you, Brother Ed. We'll tell you that. I think we tell you that a lot, but we do appreciate you for what you do, and So the last Sunday of the month will be an offering, will be opportunity to show. We'll take a love offering the last Sunday of the month. You want to add anything to that, Jeff? Okay. All right. That's all the announcements that I have. Anybody have anything you want to add to this?
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
The folks that have volunteered for the trunk or treat in Oakburg.
Yes,
I need to see them downstairs, down front, for just a second. There's a couple questions we have to answer.
Okay.
Won't be able to do that. It won't take a long time.
Okay. All righty. Now, you've also seen in your bulletin when I add this to it, that Nell Jackman's, we had that last Sunday, but also there's a dress for Ann Barbie. Janice, you want to add anything to that where we are?
No, just that, Ann is really, really down, and just she needs all her prayers, and especially encouragement.
Right. I know she is. So this is the rehab area here where she's going to be.
My understanding is that it's rehab most of the day.
Yeah, okay. All right, it's self-explanatory. There it is. Try to contact Ann if you can, if you would, please. All right. Anything else before we go to our prayer requests? All right. Let's now go to the prayer request. I have a couple. Ann, of course, is one of them from my list here. And then, of course, Jeff's mom. And it is so good to have you with us.
Glad to be.
It's good to have you with us. Did Jeff treat you well? Okay. You let me know if he does not. Okay. Okay.
She'll let you know.
I'm serious. I'm not. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you. You know that. Because nobody, he loves you more than life itself. I know that. So that's good. All right. I handled that right, didn't I? Okay. It's so good to have you. We're praying for you. We keep praying for you. And it looks like God is answering those prayers.
He has.
Yes, he is. Well, we'll give that a praise report. That's what we'll do. Any other prayer requests this morning?
Jeff, our brother.
Praise report for Eddie's surgery yesterday. And
your brother? Yeah, okay.
Everything that was causing the issues, and the doctor gave him a really, really good prognosis.
Wonderful. It's great news. Great. Yes. Sorry, go, either one? Go ahead, say.
Judy.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay. Leonard,
yeah.
Bob's older, his oldest sister. Her name's on our prayer list already, but she's been in the hospital twice this week.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the name. Who?
It's Mallie Lanier.
Okay.
Her name's on our prayer list.
Okay.
She's been in the hospital twice this week.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are indeed thankful for another day, another Sunday, another Lord's Day, that we can be in your house. And Lord, before I ask you for anything again, Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for the praise reports that we can stand and acknowledge. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we can be together now to worship together. We ask your blessings upon us today, Lord, as we go forward in our service today with Brother Ed. We pray for Brother Ed as he stands before us today and gives us your word. Then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that we need to remember in prayer. We need to lift up to you. And we need to ask for healing for their bodies, encouragement for their souls. We pray for Miss Ann now, Lord, as we pray for her, Lord, as she is in rehab. And, Lord, we pray for her that we'll give her courage, give her patience, Lord. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would give her healing, that she would be restored back to her normal degree of health. We pray for Jeff's brother, Lord, and we thank God for the surgery that he has gone through, and he seems to be doing better with that. But, Lord, we know that he has some recuperation to do and healing has to take place, and we ask, Lord, for that healing. We pray for David's mom, Judy, as she will be going for hip replacement. We pray for her, and we ask that you would guide the surgeon's hand. Restore her health back to normal degree, we pray. Madeline Levere, we lift her up to you, Lord, as she's in and out of the hospital. We ask, Lord, that you would touch her body and give her healing. We pray now, Lord, for our trip for the Golden Agers, as we will be going into the mountains, Lord, and as we'll be together in fellowship, we pray for traveling mercy. We pray for good fellowship, a time together. Now, Lord, as we go forward again today, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings. Guide us, lead and guide and direct our words, our deeds, and our thoughts. And, Lord, we make this prayer in your name and forgiveness of our sins. Amen. We have a song of praise this morning we want to sing. The song is page 213 in your hymnals. We will soon get back to normal, right, Jeff? And
we have everything ordered except for the soundboard, and we're going to work on it this
year. This has been kind of different. This is kind of like going back in time a little bit. I don't mind picking up the hymnals and singing. We don't have to sing it off the board and off the wall. But this is page 213. It's a beautiful song of praise. It's because we were glorified. Let's do all four verses as we stand together this morning, please. Children, you are now dismissed.
That's a great song with what we just sang. Hallelujah. To the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am. All right, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll do a little Bible study today. So keep your fingers nimble. Whether you use them to flip pages or punch your iPad. Of course, I always worry about if the people with the iPad, are they really reading the scripture or are they looking at reruns from last night's football game? First Corinthians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now notice there, he divides man into three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, you know what your body is. That's you. That's who's looking back at you in the mirror every time you look in the mirror. If you're not sure you got a body, reach down and pinch yourself and see if it hurts. Or let the person beside of you pinch you. And the body is who you are. And you know when you get saved, your body doesn't change much. If you're short, you're still short. If you're bald, you're still bald. If you're pretty, you're still pretty. If you're young, you're still young. If you're old, you're still old. You know, when you get saved, your body doesn't change much. Now, it can change in the sense that if you pre-salvation were addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or something, then over a period of time, you might be delivered from that alcoholism or that drug addiction. But most of the time, our bodies pretty much stay the same when we become Christians. Now, our spirit is our inner man, the real you, the part that's going to live forever. And if you think about it, the spirit is the part of your being that animals don't have. I mean, animals have a body. You can pet your little dog or your cat or your horse or whatever. Animals have mind, will, and emotion. They can be excited. They can pout. Your little dog or kitten ever pout because you were gone, left them in the cage too long. They have a mind. They can be trained. But your spirit, that's who you really are. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. That's the part that gets born again. That's the part of you that's either saved or lost. That's the part of you that is vitally, vitally important. And then he says, your soul. Well, your soul also has three parts. It's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. It's the way you think. It's the way you act. And this is the part of each one of us that can change and hopefully changes dramatically from the time we are saved to the time we go to glory. Let's look at several scriptures. We'll start with Luke and try to just go through the New Testament in an orderly fashion. Luke 10. In verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto them, thou answered right, this do you, and thou shalt live. Notice he talks about loving the Lord with all of our mind, our strength, our soul. Loving God with all that we are. All right, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 16. First Corinthians 2, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's a pretty bold statement. We have the mind of Christ. Paul's saying, we think like God thinks. Now that's awesome to think that we can think like God thinks. We can think in ways that are otherworldly, that are powerful, that are beyond human thoughts. All right, flip on over a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 23, Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul says there, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Flip over about two pages in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul says, listen, let the mind that was Christ had be in you. Now, we get all false humility. Well, I mean, after all, he was God. Well, he was God. And he is God, and he will always be God. But we can have thoughts akin to his thoughts. We can have a mind akin to his mind. We can think and reason akin to the way he reasoned and thought. All right, go on. Let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 1. I told you we was doing Bible study. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Strengthen your mind. Gird it up. Get it ready. And then 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. In other words, again, he's coming back to this idea. Have the same mind that Christ had. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, there's other scriptures in the New Testament, but all these and others point to the same thing, the emphasis upon our minds. The part of us that can change. Now let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says, listen, folks, you need to transform your mind. You need to have your mind, your thinking, transformed. Our actions, our attitudes, our way of making decisions, our way of reasonings, need to be transformed into the thinking and way of reasoning as Jesus. Now, it's fairly easy to see how far along a person is in this process just by listening to them talk and watching their actions. Now, let's think of it as, you know, it's like a, over here is that person that just got born again. His mind is worldly. His mind is on earthly things. His mind is unrenewed. Over here is the person with the mind of Christ. And all of us are at some point between here and there. Now, this is not a cause or a reason to get down on ourselves and get discouraged. Not if you're wanting to grow and attempting to grow. I mean, sometimes whenever you start to get discouraged at where you are spiritually, think of those disciples. They walked with Jesus every day for about 3 years, and still in the upper room they asked questions that proved they didn't get it. So don't give up on yourself. Don't get discouraged about yourself if you're not where you want to be, if you're striving to get where you need to be. Now, if you're satisfied with not growing spiritually, with not having your mind renewed, you need to be under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because having our minds renewed makes all the difference in the world as to our walk with God, our walk with one another, our influence upon the world, our power with God in prayer. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Is your mind being transformed? Last night, I got to thinking, I guess in the last 60 years, I've sat in on 600 or more deacons meeting. I've talked face to face with between 20 and 30 pulpit committees. And boy, you do see some things. You know, when a person that's 70 years old, been a deacon for 40 years, puts on a temper tantrum that would do a kid in the terrible twos proud, you can pretty much bet his mind hadn't been renewed. Now, I didn't point any fingers. I haven't found that. I mean, it's amazing the thought processes that sometimes you see by men that are supposed to be spiritual leaders. How unspiritual they are, how carnal they are, how childish they are. And I can't tell you the number of times I've been flat out lied to by pulpit committees. I mean, flat out lied to. This one pops into my mind. When I was at Prospect, I had a pulpit committee on over toward Hickory. And they said, now we'll be calling you in a few days to set up a time for you to come preach a trial sermon. Great. I like the church. I like the building. I like the people. That sounds great. Well, about 2 or 3 weeks later, we had a snow Sunday. And so we didn't have church. And so I go turn on the TV and I'm watching some preacher. And you know how they have the little trailers across the bottom, church council at Barber's Grove, church council at Oakboro First. And then the name of this church came from up toward Hickory, came across and says, trial sermon counseled. Well, I didn't know anything about any trial sermon. In other words, they'd lied to me about having me come do a trial sermon. They already had somebody else in mind. And the list goes on and on. Unrenewed minds. And yet when you get around people whose minds have been renewed, it's such a blessing. Because they're going to speak words of kindness. They're going to speak words of love. They're going to speak words of affirmation. They're going to be seeking for godly solutions to the situation or problem that you face. As Rita said in her Sunday school lesson, sometimes even as a church, we start seeking, and a committee in the church, we start seeking answers to a certain situation. And sometimes we don't even stop to say, Lord, is it your will that we do this? Is this the best plan and this the best way that we need to handle this situation? And in the flesh, we do that which is worldly. It may make sense worldly. But you know, a lot of things that God did, if you read your Bible, didn't make sense. Okay, dudes, put the ark of God on your back, step out into that flooded river. Are you kidding me? I mean, the thing is probably a mile wide in flood stage. We could drown. Don't you think? You couple of deacons, you need to be carrying the front end of this thing. March around Jericho 7 times, and then on the seventh day, march once a day for 6 days, and then the seventh day, march around 7 times, and then shout and blow the trumpet and watch the walls fall down. Yeah. Who ever heard about going to war that way? And I always love the one where, you know, Israel is facing three armies. And they said, put the choir in front. And let them go out singing forth the praises of God. And guess what? The three enemy armies turned on one another. And by the time the soldiers got there, all they had to do was go around and pick up all the good stuff that was left when they had been killed. And I always was fascinated by the story of Gideon. You know, he's got 33,000 troops. He's facing an army of 110,000. I mean, he's outnumbered 3-1. God says, you got too many. Too many? Lord, can you count? Tell everybody that's scared to go home. Well, 23,000, I'm headed for the house. Well, 10,000, now we outnumbered 10-1. Well, you still got too many. Have them go down to the brook and drink water, and all that do a certain way, send them home. Now we got 300. 300 versus 110,000. What's that? Something like 350-1? How many of you want to go to battle and knowing you got to get rid of 350 guys? And yet, God has a way. And men and women who are listening to God and having their minds renewed and doing things God's way, they're the ones that came out on top. They're the ones that came out winners. And yet, if we get into the worldly way of doing things with unrenewed minds, it's amazing how we can mess up. You can see how people act. You can see what sets them off. You can see their thought process. And you can see how far along they are on the path of a renewed mind. And as I said, it's not wrong to be over here and growing. The problem is if we're over here and 70 years later, we're still over here. And if we're the pastor of the church, or a deacon in the church, or a Sunday school teacher in the church, or some other church leader, we have problems. And Paul says, be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be different, really, really different. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, how transformed do we want to be? How willing are we to grow? Are we satisfied to be the same as we were when we walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Or are we desiring to have that mind of Christ? To have that mind that thinks like he does? Now, how do you get transformed? Studying the Word of God. But you study it, you have to study it with an open mind. Amen. I mean, if you read it with the filter of, okay, this is how I've always thought of it. This is how I've always heard of it. This is the way it's always seemed to be. Then we don't open our mind and our heart to new truth. Pick up your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is your to be your spiritual teacher, help me to understand this. Help me to get God's insight and God's wisdom out of this passage of Scripture. And just begin to read and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you might be amazed at some of the truths that God begins to open to you. Yesterday, Pam's family had a family reunion, and one of her cousins is married to a fellow that's, he's been in the ministry not as long as I have, but almost. And we were sitting there talking, and we were talking about how reading the scripture and focusing in certain ways, and how all of a sudden the Lord can begin to open up ideas and thoughts. Even though we've read that passage dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times, suddenly, wow, I never saw it that way before. But studying the scripture, studying the word of God will transform our mind. Pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom. Oh, you said, but preacher, my problem is I'm not a reader. I don't know how to sympathize with you. I'm a reader. I love to read. It's rare that I don't read a lot of books every week. But there's CDs. There are DVDs. There are other ways to hear the Word of God. There's sermons. There's Bible teachings. There are all kinds of ways, if we have a heart, to grow and to learn and to have our minds renewed. Now, I realize in one way, a renewed mind is optional, but I really hate for it to be that way. I mean, you can be a 2-year-old spiritually and die and go to heaven, even though you're 80 years old physically. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. But oh, what you miss out in enjoyment and fellowship and wisdom, even in decisions. Folks, with the mind of Christ, even in worldly decisions. I think I shared this before, but it just comes to my mind. I have a great godly pastor friend. And back in 2005 or 6, he had some money he wanted to invest. He has a great Christian investor friend that said, I'll set you up a plan that you can invest those funds and make good money on it. And he says, you know, they set up that plan. And all of a sudden the Lord says, don't do it. And because he had the mind of Christ, he was listening to the Lord. He didn't invest his money in that particular area. Well, what happened in 2007 and 8? Your 401 became a 201. He said he would have lost over half of his money if he had done what his friend told him to do. And his friend had all the best intentions. But you see, because my pastor friend had the mind of Christ, he knew not to make that decision, not to make that investment. So it's not just in spiritual things, it's also in earthly, material things. Don't hang out with that friend. Don't go to work in the World Trade Center on 9/11. A lot of people heard that word and didn't go. There are all kinds of things that happen that are just ordinary decisions of life that having the mind of Christ can bless us. Not to mention the blessing we can be to one another in our family, the blessing we can be to one another in our church, spiritually. Not to mention the powerful witness we can have to lost people. Now, if a pulpit committee will lie to a pastor, will they not lie to a lost person? they going to win that person to Jesus when they just got told a lie? If a person can go to church and have a fit that would make a two-year-old proud, how can they witness to that lost person to whom they've just had a same similar type fit? That lost person would say, he's a Christian. Y'all know my dad's story, where he didn't get saved. I'm not sure he wasn't really saved earlier, but he didn't really make it verbal till right before he died. But if I could name the number of times I've heard it, you know, back then, he'd grant you credit. People would come in the store and say, well, you know, my wife's had the pneumonia or the flu, and she couldn't go to work in the mill, and we're behind. Can we get some groceries? Yeah, you can get, and back then, you know, $20, $25 worth would feed your family for 2 weeks. So they'd come in 2 weeks and say, well, we're getting back. Here's $10. Can we get some more? So then they get $25, and now they owe you $40. And the next week it's the same thing. And then when they owed you about $200 or $300, they went to Holton Troutman's, or they went to Red and White, or went somewhere else. And how many times I've heard my dad say, just look at that file with all of those debts. Preachers and deacons. Preachers and deacons. How are we going to win the lost to the world unless they see a transformed mind that leads into a transformed life? That gives witness that Jesus really makes a difference. Really makes a difference. Really makes a difference. First Thessalonians again. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body, what? Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then be blessed by verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You don't have to do it on your own. It's not a matter of gritting your teeth and saying, I'm going to have my mind renewed or bust. No, it's being submissive to the Holy Spirit. Allowing Him to direct our thoughts, our study, our understanding of Scripture. To allowing Him to tell us when to speak. And when to shut up. Oh, it's so easy to say, I just love to give him or her a piece of my mind. Some of us don't have enough to give away. But you know, at that moment we think, I want to give him or her a piece of my mind. If we stop to think, would Jesus say that? Would Jesus tell them off this way? And if we zip our lips, then we begin to have a better witness. If when we feel that fit coming on, if we say, no, I'm just going to be more mature than that today, then that makes a difference. Your spirit changes when you get saved. Your body's pretty much the same. but it's your mind that needs to be transformed. And he will do it with your cooperation. And he will do it with my cooperation. I don't have to do it in my own strength. I have the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher in the world, who knows all things, the end from the beginning from the end, to help me and teach me, to help me to be under control, to deal with what I need to deal with. And oh, what a difference it makes. When you sit down with a group of deacons who have renewed minds. When you talk to a pulpit committee that has renewed minds. When you have friends and family that have those minds that are being renewed. And it's a continual process till we go into glory. Paul had the audacity to say, we have the mind of Christ. Let's strive to be able to say that in our lives. I have the mind of Christ. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ, we invite you to do that. Just a moment when the music starts playing, just walk down the aisle and I'll meet you here. If there's someone that needs to make another decision, share something with me. Become a member of this church by moving your letter. We invite you to come. If there's other decisions on your heart, would you come? Or right where you are, just say, Lord, I want my mind renewed. Help me to become more like Jesus. Help us to be the kind of folks that are not satisfied with spiritual babyhood or childishness, but help us to be the kind of folks that want to be like Jesus. They want to present a godly attitude, action, and word to a lost world. Be the kind of person that a lost person can look at and say, I see Jesus in you. And Father, I thank you that we don't have to do that in our own strength, but you are faithful. You called us, and if we are submissive and willing, you'll help us to achieve spiritual adulthood. May the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, guys, about the retreat down front, and also those of you that are doing the trunk or treat down front.